Today you'll see a shirt with lovely details. There's lots of sewing to see, and I've mixed my favorite fabric, chiffon, with shirting to my advantage to make sewing this easier. Ta-da! Chiffon and shirting. Keep watching. Hi sewing friends, I'm Karina from liftingpinsandneedles.com. Welcome to this channel that is all about sewing, limitless sewing. It's a beautiful, beautiful day and very perfect for sharing something I absolutely love. I loved sewing this pattern and it made me super happy while I was sewing it. Lots of details to see, and this is the type of video where if you are interested in these sewing techniques, you will get a lot of value because I'm going to show you how to sew a lot of these things. What I'm talking about is the Mila shirt from Itch to Stitch. It's a pattern I've been eyeing for a very long time. I purchased it maybe in 2018 and I got around to sewing it, and I'm very, very happy. This shirt has a fit that's not loose, it's not tight, it's just right. Has a half placket down the center front, which I love, and you can choose whether you want to do just the collar stand, make it look like a mandarin collar only, or you can add the actual collar and then it's more classic, you know, the stand and the collar. You can choose what you want to do there. As with a lot of shirts, there is a yoke piece. This yoke comes over to the front a little bit and it's sewn double, very nicely enclosed inside with a burrito method. Gathers coming from here. The smaller your cup size, the less gathers you have there, but it's really pretty, very feminine to have those gathers there instead of a bust start. At the back on the center, there's a little box pleat that comes out of that yoke, and the hem goes below your hip, curved hem, shirt tail hem, classic. As an option, you can sew a pocket on one side. The sleeves are long, they have cuffs. Into those cuffs are two little pleats. And the detail that I mainly love and find extremely delicate and feminine is that little slit there that is bound, goes into the cuff, and that overlaps for the button. It's a very classic feature that you'll see on a lot of women's shirts and blouses. I always prefer this. I think it's much more delicate, very pretty, and super fun to sew. The other optional thing that you can do with this is sew a little tab that's inside the sleeve and have your sleeves end up being 3/4 with that little button there. It's a project that is going to be super satisfying to sew. It won't take you just an afternoon to do. There are lots of nice little pieces to cut and steps to follow, and this type of sewing is the type that is going to help you grow in your skills. As always, Itch to Stitch has beautiful, beautiful instructions, so it's all very, very doable. Itch to Stitch has an awesome Black Friday sale. It starts today, Thursday the 26th of November, and goes through Monday the 30th of November. So you have all these days to look at the patterns, and they are all discounted 25% off, which is super nice. Sales at Itch to Stitch are not very common. You don't see them happening all the time, other than when there's a new pattern release and it's usually discounted 20%. So I love it when there's a sale. I always get the patterns I need. If you want inspiration, I have 44 videos on the playlist of Itch to Stitch, 45 with this one actually. So I think you'll find a lot of the patterns there that you might like already sewn up. I do pretty comprehensive videos about them, always showing you how to sew, the techniques that might be trickier or just interesting and different. So you'll see a lot of content there if you want a little bit more information before choosing the patterns you want. You are welcome to use my affiliate link if you want to. It supports me at no extra cost to you because I make a small commission from the sales that go through that link. So I thank you so much if you do use it. It is one of the ways I make an income and also keep providing free content for you on this channel. So thank you so much if you do use it. Depending on the types of fabric that you use, you'll have very different looks. So I've sort of classified my fabric talk into flowy and structured. Everyone has their own personal preference, and I know I gear towards the flowy all the time. I rarely sew a garment in a way that's structured, even though it's perfectly appropriate for the design. So a classic shirt can certainly be sewn in shirting fabrics, in more structured, a light denim, a chambray, your classic flannel with plaid. These types of fabrics are perfect for this design. It'll be perfect if that is what you like, a really structured type of shirt. There is space in this shirt to wear this with another layer underneath. If you want this shirt to be a little bit thicker, in like a thicker flannel, this could be like your outerwear as well with your shirt inside, that sort of thing. I know a lot of people enjoy that look, But I always go to the flowy. I like having flowy things on me. I like how they feel. I like how I look in them much better. I would totally make this out of silk, rayon types, even rayon twill, which is a little heavier, I think would be super nice. Tencel twill that looks like denim with a lot of top stitching around the collar would look amazing. I have chosen a fabric that is not recommended. And I would say chiffon is never recommended. I rarely see patterns that suggest it, that say, yes, sew this with chiffon, please. It is rarely recommended, but it doesn't mean that you can't use it. So I have done a trick that I have done before, and I suggest you do that too if you want to use lightweight wovens, which is cut your main pieces out of your lightweight woven, like rayon, something that you might find is harder to work with. Cut your front, your back, your sleeves out of that. But for the features and the pattern pieces that need more precision, you will benefit greatly from a fabric that's easier to work with, like a shirting, a cotton. And that's exactly what I've done with my shirt. My collar stand, my placket, my cuffs are made with shirting. This is a really, really nice shirting, very classic type of fabric that they sell here, which is a mix of linen, cotton, and rayon. It's got the three mixed, really. It's lovely to touch. It doesn't crease that much. Lovely to sew with. I'll put the composition down here on the screen. And it's so, so lovely. You don't even have to get up and go and press your seams. You can easily finger press this. And that is what I've done for most of this construction. I didn't need to get up and burn my fingers because I could just finger press it and the creases would be perfect. The Mila shirt is one of the older patterns from Itch to Stitch, so it doesn't have the updated sizing that Itch to Stitch includes now from 00 to 40 US. This one has the older sizing that is 00 to 20 US. That'll go up to a bust of 49 inches and a hip of 48 inches. As I mentioned, this shirt is not tight, it's not loose, it's just right, and you have about 3.5 to 4 inches of positive ease at the bust, which is perfect, and sort of around the same amount for the hips. I love that amount of ease. It's perfect. You know, you be able to move and wear pants underneath and a layer. In my case, a little cami because I need something. The fabric is totally transparent. When you look at the finished garment measurements here, it does not include a pleat that is at the back that adds about 3 inches extra to the hips. You know, so it is a little bit roomier than what the size states. So I think if your measurements are on the size 20 and then go off to a 22 at the hips, I think you can perfectly just sew a size 20 and be okay. This is a woven pattern, so you will find separate cup sizes A, B, C, D, and double D. I love the separate cup sizes because the C cup fits me perfect. It just goes along with my shape and my size beautifully. The bust has all the room and the good shaping that you want. For the practical segment of this video, I'm going to divide it in two sections. As I mentioned before, there is a lot to see here. This is not the shortest of videos. I will put chapters down in the description so you can click to see the areas that you are mainly interested in. For this first section, you'll see an overview of the pattern, why I am not interfacing, there is a reason for it, how I'm stabilizing the neckline, making marks, and then I'll be back to show you the shirt. Let's hop into up close and so personal part one. I have a navy fabric that I'm going to use to make all the contrast pieces. I have a print to make the main parts of the shirt, and this fabric is quite structured. I think it'll just make all these features crisp and also facilitate the sewing. This is a cotton shirting fabric, so it's perfect, and my main fabric will be chiffon, and that will sort of influence some decisions I make here in regards to interfacing. So I have the upper collar here. Actually, the pattern pieces come with only the half that you have to put on the fold, but I always find it more effective to just create a full piece that I can place there and cut twice. I need one of these layers to be interfaced and the other one not. This is a little piece that you cut to do the binding on the cuff detail of the sleeve that will allow the cuff to open. These are sleeve tabs. Now, these pieces have the grain line marked like that, so in essence, I would need to put these pieces like this. But look at all the fabric that would consume, and I can't deal with that. I don't really mind have binding cut on the cross grain or the sleeve tabs cut on the cross grain. It's not going to affect anything. So I'm going to cut them like that. The under collar here is not interfaced, and this one is cut on the bias. You can see it has the grain line mark there, and this will have a center seam at the back. I like this for under collars because it gives the collar a better fold. It just folds nicely, and you'll find that this one is going to be smaller than that one, which makes the seam roll to the back. There's only one pocket that goes on the chest, and then there's one big placket piece that is for the front. That one is just cut once. So from one layer of fabric, I'll get this, and then from the other, I'll get this pocket piece. I want to block fuse, and I'm sure no one's ever going to show you the actual detail, but I will. I've got a pin there showing that up to there is the area that I need to interface that rectangle. Cut piece of interfacing, fuse this area. Interfacing is on the area that I need to be interfaced. I've got the fabric folded so that this is the wrong side. And I'll just do what I usually do, just make marks all over it so that I can remember. The layer that's underneath is not interfaced, and this is just enough to fit my collar pieces. So I don't waste a lot of interfacing. You know, you always lose little corner areas, but I don't count that. I just don't worry about that. And now I can just go ahead and place everything back here. There are tons of little tiny pieces of just interfacing pieces. So this tiny one is to cut just out of interfacing and to fuse on half of the cuff. So it's good. It means that the cuff is not going to be totally stiff. That's good. But considering that my main fabric is chiffon and I really want a soft, delicate look, and this fabric is structured as it is already, I am going to opt out of interfacing the cuff. I don't want to do that. There are also two other ones here that are for the front placket. So one is a little bit wider than the other. They're both long. And it says here, apply interfacing here. This one is the narrow area there, and this one is the wide area over there as well. If I was doing chiffon placket, I would interface the whole piece. Same as if I were doing this out of rayon. I would totally interface the whole thing. I wouldn't just interface certain areas. But because this fabric is super structured and will hold up on its own, and I'm sewing this placket onto chiffon, I don't want to have that contrast of a really stiff placket and a really soft chiffon blouse. So I'm not going to be cutting these interfacing pieces. You are welcome to. It's all about fabric choice, and I'm very happy to change some things around to match my fabric choice. This is the front placket, and it only needs to be cut out once. The important thing about this one, and it doesn't say on the pattern piece, is that you need to cut this piece with the right side of the fabric up. So on the other side, you can see the scribbles. That means the wrong side. This means the right side. This is the way that you need to cut it so that it ends up being correct on the front of the shirt, or else your overlap will be on the men's side sort of thing. So just be careful with that, because it's not written here on the pattern piece. Sometimes it is, not this time. This is my front placket piece, and I have cut it from my fabric right sides up, as I mentioned. After cutting it, I realigned it perfectly with the fabric underneath and put my tracing paper between there. And you can see with a ruler, I just marked super neatly on top. You can see the ink marks. And now I have very nice lines here that I can see. So you can see the nice detail you can get with tracing paper, a ruler, and a pen. The only issue is if I apply heat to this, they will disappear instantly. I'm gonna go and finger press this actually. So this is the front placket piece. This is the right side of the fabric up, and beautiful little lines everywhere. I'm going to flip this so that you're seeing the wrong sides up. And then on this edge that's longer, there is a first fold that is at 3/8 of an inch. And I can see the line there. So I'm going to go ahead and fold this super neatly. And I do sort of like an accordion. And if you're working with cotton linen or cotton or shirting, any of those types of structured fabrics, this is going to work super well. Look how well pressed this is right there. So that's the first step. I'm also going to go ahead and press the other outer edge over here. I'm doing it slightly in a different order than the instructions, just because this makes more sense to me. So just press the 3/8 that's on the outer edges on both sides, following that line there. Okay, so I have wrong sides of the placket, this longer area there, that has been folded in 3/8. This one has been folded in at 3/8 as well. Now we'll go back to the longer area. Then there's another line there. That's the second fold line. So I'm going to go ahead and press it, and this actually includes part of the bottom there, this one. Another option you could do if you really wanted to press this traditionally, and maybe I would do that if I was working with a fabric that can't be finger pressed, like rayon or chiffon, I would go to the machine and do a guide stitch on all of these lines. So just a longer stitch length that I can remove later, and that's how I would know where my references are. And I would do it with the same color thread as what I'm using. But for now, finger pressing works. So I've got my outer edge and now my second fold right there. So that's done right there. And now I'm going to repeat over here, because over here, there is another line right there. This is what I would have up to now. Now at the bottom, there's some lines to form a little triangle. On one of these, I'm just gonna fold it like that. And on the other one, fold it like that. The little triangle that will go on the bottom of this placket. And I'm gonna pin that. I consider this being pressed. It is pressed in my eyes. So even if I open this up again, I can still see the creases of where I pressed by hand. And I still have all the marks that I need here in the center to be able to sew this onto the neckline. After having all these folds done, I just encountered a tiny little issue. Not an issue, but just a practical thing that you'll encounter. After pressing that, you just need to open it all up again, right? And all the marks were done on the right side of the fabric, that center line that will be sewn onto the actual shirt. But that will be sewn on this side. So you're going to have the wrong side of the shirt here, and you're going to put this on top, and both the shirt and the placket pieces will have the wrong side of the fabric facing up to you, and that's where you sew down the rectangle and then snip into the corners and all of that. So you need these marks to be on the wrong side, at least these center marks right there. So I had marked them on the right side of the fabric. I just put my tracing paper behind there again and just went ahead and marked right on top, and now I have them on the wrong side. So the ones that you need actually on the wrong side of the fabric are the ones that go down the center. All the other ones, you can do them here, you know? So just something practical that you will find in a pattern like this. I'm cutting the front piece that is on the fold. So I've got the fold of the fabric there, and there's a little mark that goes on the center. Unfortunately, I have my pattern piece with the printing of the pattern, you know, to the bottom, because that's just how I placed it on fabric. But if I move this, you can see that dashed line there and up to there needs to be marked on the center. So I've just got tracing paper on the back here and here, like wrapping around this area. And I have just gone ahead with my tracing wheel and marked it. And I hope I can see it. This is yellow. I can see the faint line there, so I'll be super careful not to apply heat until I've sewn the placket on, so that I don't lose that marking there. Here are all the smaller pieces that I've cut out of my shirting fabric, and they're all interfaced and all marked and ready to be used. Over here is a sleeve tab, that'll be one of the last steps. One pocket for one side of the chest. This is the little binding piece that will go on the slit that the bottom of the sleeves have. That is the cuff. Two collar stands, one is interfaced, one isn't. These two I cut at the same time. You saw that I interfaced a piece of fabric first, so I cut them both at the same time. That ensures that they are going to be exactly the same because I cut them at the same time. So I'm not gonna have one collar stand slightly longer or shorter than the other and them having not match. So I think that's important to block views and to cut them both at the same time with extended pieces. Reduces the risk of error greatly. And then up there, we have the upper collar, which is just one layer. So I cut that just on one of that area that I interfaced. And then this piece is the under collar. This piece is cut on the bias. I'm not gonna fiddle with it until I'm ready to sew with it. I have marked all the notches, every single mark. The most important ones are the ones on the collar. This is the back, it's cut on the fold. It's difficult to mark this fabric, so I've got some faint yellow marks from my tracing paper that I can see. I doubt you will be able to see them because I can barely see them. Up there on the top are the yoke pieces. You need two layers because this uses the burrito method to enclose all the seams. So it's going to be a nice clean finish. That round neckline there on the top on the yoke, I'm going to go ahead and put some fusible interfacing just on the edge, and you've seen me do that before. I would rather do that than stay stitch. I think for this chiffon, it'll just give me more security that it's not going to stretch out. So I'm going to be very, very careful to do that as soon as I'm done showing you this. This is the front piece and it's cut on the fold. Now, if you look right there, it looks like the neckline is mega high because look at that tiny little curve. But actually part of the neckline is part of the yoke as well. And also we have these marks going down here, like a rectangle up to there. This is going to be open with the button placket and the collar, so you're not going to be choking. Here is the sleeve piece. I cut at the shorten and lengthen line and added 1¼ inches to the length of the sleeves. I didn't do any length adjustments to the shirt. Maybe it will be super difficult to see, but from one of these sides, going in about 3 inches, there's a little line that goes like that and then like that. And I've marked it in yellow. This will need to be cut into. So you need to cut this little piece off, and then that will allow you to extend this piece and put that binding there. Here is my beautiful shirt. I love this print. I found this chiffon in Chile in the summer and I brought it along with me. It is very transparent, very delicate, very beautiful. It has colors that I love. And I thought really hard about what contrast color to use for these features. And it is a navy blue background, so I stuck with that. I think any other color would have just stood out in a weird way. Like to keep it classic. This is a classic style. You can wear this forever. These types of garments are worn all the time. They're off the trends, you know, they're just above the trends basically. You can just wear them forever. Here you can see the collar stand and the collar, all the top stitching that was done there. Now doing this with this type of fabric was so helpful. You know, doing this with chiffon is also possible, but why when you can do this and make it easier? Not that I'm trying to run away from hard things, because I'm always doing things that require a bit extra, but why not do it like this? It's so achievable, and my goal is to always simplify things for you, to encourage you to try these things and not just get stuck sewing t-shirts and knit dresses, which are also great. But if you want to improve and grow in your sewing, these projects are perfect. The undercollar at the back has a center seam and the undercollar is cut on the bias. It's really good because it lets the collar hang beautifully. The undercollar is always smaller than the upper collar, which makes this seam on the edge roll inside and look super good. It's so professional. There you can see the top stitching on the collar stand. Very, very nice. So nice to do with this fabric. I can't recommend doing this enough. Mixing a light woven with a shirting material, some type of material that is easy to work with. I don't need interfacing on some aspects of this. I did do it for the collar, but not for the button placket. I didn't want to weigh this down and create bulk. There you can see the bottom of the placket, how it finishes in like a little tower thing, inverted of course, the top stitching, the buttons going up, buttonholes. I always measure where I want my button by trying this on, figuring out where my bust height, and that's where the first button goes, and then I measure up and down, and that's what I do. I don't consider the marks on the pattern because those buttons might not match where my bust height is. I don't want to have two buttons and my bust height in the middle, because that's what gives you that gaping that you never want with anything that has buttons. I always try to avoid that at all costs by doing that, and also just making smaller intervals between buttons. I'll usually put more buttons than what a pattern says because I just want to feel safe and secure and that nothing is going to gape. I have shown how to sew a half placket before with another itch to stitch pattern, the Shemaina's top. That was around May or June this year. The technique is very similar. There are some differences, but the concepts are all there. So if you want to see how you can sew that, I filmed it in detail and it's not as hard as you think, not as hard at all. Now the whole sewing of this shirt is on Patreon because it was the pattern that was chosen at the end of October. So the ladies that joined me on the Orchid tier of Patreon have the full detailed sew along. I think it's 5 parts, about 2 hours of edited footage to sew this. About this little pocket, I found it a little bit small. I actually folded the edges in only by a quarter of an inch to make it the biggest it could be because I found it small. So you might want to see if you make that a little bit bigger. Here at the back, you have the yoke right there. There are two layers. Everything is enclosed with the burrito method. That encloses the front where the gathers come from. I'll show you this inside out because I have done French seams. I love doing that. That was an extra step I chose to do. This section of the shirt is totally clean, totally enclosed in there. And because I was working with a fraying material, I did serge inside anyway, even though it is enclosed. I don't want to take the risk. And this is the wrong side of the shirt on this section of the front. I also enclosed that seam and it's also serged inside just for safety. The seam of the sleeve is not French seamed. I am not a fan of French seaming sleeves because of the curve. I don't really care for having such a nice thing inside when it's not going to look that nice on the outside. I always want to prioritize how a garment hangs on the outside. And I know trying to ease in and doing all that with a French seam does not look its best, so I don't do it. But I do have the French seam on the seam of the sleeve and on the side seams. The hem is small. I folded it up twice. The first fold, I sew it by hand at less than a quarter of an inch if I can, and then I fold it again at a quarter of an inch, and then I baste it by hand again. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's what works for me. It does take a little while, but it will ensure that this curved hem is going to be super pretty with no puckers and especially no seam ripping. If you hand baste, you're not going to be seam ripping at all, if any. And who wants to be seam ripping chiffon? You know, you can rip up your whole fabric trying to do that. So I try not to seam rip if possible, and hand basting is a huge part of that. I'll show you the sleeve. It fits very nice here. There's not much to ease in. It's not a sleeve that has excessive amounts that you need to gather in and that's hard to sit in, not at all. And this is my most favorite part. Now ignore that I have a pin here. Since lockdown, my button situation has been dire. I had enough buttons for the placket and then I couldn't find any more for the sleeve. So I will eventually, when I get the right buttons, swap them all out. But for now, it's a pin. It's a cuff that has a slit that is bound. This is not bias binding. It's binding that's cut on the straight of grain and it's sewn into that slit to create that little overlap. So feminine. There are little pleats coming from there, from the cuff. So beautiful, and so fun to sew. So that is what I want to show you how to do. This is a new technique I filmed. You have not seen this from me, so it's something new. And I hope you enjoy seeing how all this sleeve comes together at the bottom and how you can also do this and it's not hard. So let's hop into Up Close and Sew Personal Part 2. What you see here are the two sleeve pieces, the wrong sides of the fabric up. If you could place the sleeves in the same way I have so that it's easy for you to visualize, make sure you have double notches there and double notches there. So you have the back of these sleeves in the center and the single notches on the outside. Single notch there, single notch there. So if you place your sleeves in the exact same way, wrong sides up, double notches in the center, it will be much easier for you to understand what I'm doing with the bottom bits where there's a slit and some pleats. So let's see the bottom. I hope you can see these arrows. These arrows are pointing this way and on the other sleeve pointing the other way. This has got to do with the pleats. Down at the bottom, you will find marks to do two little pleats. One there, one there. The instructions have you do them from the right side, which is something I've never understood because we make our marks on the wrong side. So I've already tested this. All you need to do is form these pleats, pin them together, and then fold the bulk of the pleat towards the arrow that way. So on this sleeve, you will form your pleat, you will form your pleat. I pin them and I actually even like to sew them for about an inch, just the basting stitch. And then I've got my arrow pointing that way. You will fold the bulk of the pleat that way. Another reference to where the pleats are heading is that here, close to the edge, you will have to cut open a slit. That is a little slit that will be finished with binding. And so you have your pleats there, you have your slit there, and you have your pleats away from the slit.
Where I'm showing you with my finger, where you see the faint yellow line, is where we need to stitch. Just a normal stitch length to reinforce that, and then we have to snip all the way down the center up to the tip, but not through it. I have both sleeves positioned as I've shown you before, the same way. So I have gone ahead and sewed along those little lines that I've shown you, and then snipped in the middle, and I've pinned my pleats. I'll show you one up closer. Okay, so remember I showed you a faint yellow line that went up and then down? I sewed right on top of that, so you can see that stitching maybe, and then I snipped right in the center of that slit. That's how that looks. So that reinforces that because we will need to open this up to put the binding. I've matched up the lines that we had from the pleats, so they're pinned, and I'm gonna go ahead at the sewing machine and just baste these pleats. Remember I mentioned that the volume of the pleats go away from the slit. There you can see the slit, and so the volume of the pleats go that way. If I'm really careful, I might just be able to sew over these pins and just baste that in place. So I prefer to just get that out of the way and get it done first before we do the binding on this area. Okay, so we have this sleeve. I have the wrong side of the fabric up, and I can still see my arrows pointing that way that I drew with chalk. And I have the slit, and we want these pleats pointing this way. So I'm just gonna go ahead and baste these with the pins there holding them in place. I'll just be super careful. I promise I won't break my needle. So I need to baste them within the seam allowance, that is 3/8. Okay, so there are the pleats done, and I'll do it on the other side. Now the other side is a mirror image, so I'll probably have to flip something around, but I still have my arrow marks. Okay, this is the wrong side of the other sleeve. I have my slit there, and I want my pleats that way. But because I don't want to sew against the pleat, I'm going to flip this all around and have the bulk of the sleeve on this side so I can sew in the direction of the pleat, basically. Look at those arrows right there. On the pattern, this is called a continuous lap. It's the binding piece. And so I've got wrong sides marked with chalk, and on one of the edges, we just need to press it in by 1/4 inch. And you know how well this has been working so far with fingers. This is the binding piece that I had pressed 1/4 inch in. Now on the raw edge that's not pressed, I'm gonna go ahead and extend this and place these right sides together. So I've got the wrong side, you can see the arrows. So that's the right side. And I want to sew from this side because this is where I need to be really careful that I don't get a little pucker or a little pleat. So I want this side on top when I sew. And I'm going to pin this all along the edge, extending this now, trying to make it straight as possible, and pin this. The way this needs to be sewn is with a small seam allowance, 1/4 inch. But when you're getting to this middle section here, you need to reduce the seam allowance to about 1/8 around this section, and then go back to 1/4 inch. So we'll do that. Okay, I'm getting to this sort of middle section, so I'm gonna start making the seam allowance smaller. And I really don't wanna get a pucker right there, so I'm gonna be super careful. Try to push some of this bulk aside. Okay, this is the section I didn't want to have the pucker. Let's see on the other side, it's okay. So we had the edge that was already folded previously, and now this small seam allowance needs to be pressed in and this brought over, and you cover this seam just like you would in binding, but this piece is not cut on the bias, so look how clean that's going to be. So I'm going to go ahead and pin this, being super careful. Just pin this all the way until I have this wrapping around and closing this off. And then I'll go ahead and hand baste and then edge stitch, and then that's done here on this, but then we have to do something in the middle. Okay, and so I don't see another way of doing this accurately without doing this hand basting, especially on this fabric. this is where I've come and wrapped around. You can see the seam allowance is in there. So I'm gonna go ahead and edge stitch this. How that looks sewn on the edge. It's neat on both sides. I can see my arrows there. That means that this is the wrong side of the fabric. This is the way I need to fold this onto itself, matching at the bottom and then all the way up to where this folds. And here it shows on the sewing machine doing like a diagonal stitch. I know I don't want to do that on the sewing machine. It's just so small here and so bulky. I've got many layers of fabric there. I know it's not going to end up looking very good on the sewing machine. So I'm just going to do a few stitches there diagonally by hand. The other thing that also needs to happen after you've sewn that diagonal there, you need to look at these and the side that's closest to the pleats. There are the pleats. You need to fold this onto itself like that and just baste that at the bottom so it stays like that. What that will do is on the other side, it's going to make that side overlap the other and it's going to look like that. That one's going to be folded in and then that's going to go on top of the other one. On the instructions, this looks like it's this huge thing, like it's really wide, but in reality, it's tiny. Okay, so that's fixed there at the bottom. And now I'm gonna go ahead and do that diagonal stitch by hand. This is super tiny, it was only a few stitches. They are done on this binding piece, not catching the sleeve at all. You can see how sharp that turn is there and there's no important puckers there. And how this overlaps that one. I'll give it a good press. And then I basically have to sew the sleeve closed. I have to sew this seam to that seam so that all this at the bottom is round and this is the open area and that's where the cuff is going to go. So I'll give this a good press and then put my sleeve as any other sleeve would be and sew from there to there. To sew these seams of the sleeves, I'm also going to be doing French seams like I did on the side seams. So I've got wrong sides together here and I'm doing the first stitch at about an eighth of an inch. Now I can flip the sleeve over and now I have right sides together and I can sew again at a quarter of an inch. Are the two cuff pieces. Now what I've done is mark with chalk where the interfacing would be. There was a small piece of interfacing that only covers half of the cuff, so if I folded that in half it would just cover half, and I do like that because it's less bulky. However, I decided to not use interfacing on this blouse just because the main fabric is chiffon and I just wanted to keep it light throughout. This is nice cotton blend fabric, so it's okay. But in case you are interfacing, I do want you to see where that would be in relation to how this is put together. So that scribble area means interfacing. So the side that's not interfaced, you need to fold it in by 3/8 and press it. So I've done that. I've put pins there just to mark the centers and that's just going to be easier to put it onto the bottom of the sleeve. So I'll just put this aside. What you need to do now is fold these right sides together and you're going to have your interfacing be right at the edge there of that fold. You have your folded edge and then that side's not folded and you're going to close these cuffs on both sides. So we're putting right sides of the fabric here, folding this cuff lengthwise. I'm going to keep this folded edge on top when I sew. After doing that, we can flip it. Okay, so I'm just going to fold that and flip it. That's looking nice and sharp. And now this edge that's interfaced there, that's raw, that's not folded in, this is what gets sewn onto the bottom of the sleeve. What I've done here is pin the cuff to the sleeve. And this is the right side of the fabric of the sleeve, and from edge to the other edge. Now remember, there was a little piece that had been basted on at the bottom, the binding, so that this stays folded in like that. So that needs to be there, that's basted there, so that's not gonna flip out, you know, out of position. And the edge of this cuff needs to match that edge right there. This top part of the cuff has been folded and everything. We need to keep that out of the way and just sew along the edge. And here on the other side, I've got this along the edge of the binding right there. Okay, so that was sewn. Now this seam allowance needs to be pressed up, and you can see how this will easily tuck into there super neatly, and that has already been pressed. So the finish on the cuff edge there is super clean, like that. Now on this side, the side that you don't see the binding directly, the side that has the binding folded, this is the side that's going to overlap over the other, like this. So that's where the buttonhole needs to be. Now I haven't got interfacing in there, but I am going to fuse a little square of interfacing just on this section, just to reinforce that tiny area for the buttonhole. So I'll just cut myself a little square of black interfacing and fuse that on while I go now to the iron to press the seam up and kneaden it all up. Then I'm going to hand baste this down and then sew it. I've got the sleeve with the fabric out, so the sleeve is right sides out. Now we need to edge stitch this cuff all the way around, and I'm really liking this delicate cuff. It's narrow, it's delicate to match this feature, and I really like it. I would like it less if it was like a huge cuff, but I really like this. Once we've edge stitched all around the cuff, we do the buttonhole on this area. So the side that has the binding folded to the inside, that's the one that overlaps on this other side. So this is where the buttonhole is going to go.
So by now you might want to see it on because the video has been long, but you know, it's these videos that have a lot to share. So let's see this one on. I've paired it with my Eddystone jeans, my favorite non-stretch denim jeans. They fit so well and they go with everything, so why not pair it with this?
Here's a faraway look at my Mila shirt. I've got it with my Eddystone jeans. My shirt has many colors and one of them matches the shoes. I'm always looking at those things. I really like the fit. It's got a curved hem. It's not a fitted shirt or loose either. I think it's perfect. That's how it looks on the back. I'll show you more up close. Here's another look. You can see the placket is nice and neat. It's a longish placket. It goes further down than my bust height. There is shaping on the sides. I do have layers underneath. I have a cami because this is sheer. The sleeves are blousing over a little bit over the little cuff. Super pretty. Love that. Curved hem at the back. I really love that detail. Tiny hem. It's a hem that's been folded up twice by a quarter of an inch. It goes well on the curves like that, on the side like that. Pretend there is a matching button right there. I only had enough buttons to put on the placket and I still can't find two buttons to put there, but I will eventually. So please try to ignore that there's a pin there. Here you can see the little slit that is bound with binding, the same type of shirting material that the cuff is made out of. The cuff is made out of shirting, makes it much easier, it gives the structure that it needs right there. From the cuff you see two little pleats there, so delicate, so pretty. I really like all the details here at the top, the button placket, so fun to sew, so nice. I've got my buttons going up. I didn't put a button right here on the collar stand because I would never wear this completely closed. I would feel very uncomfortable like that. Although it's a pretty look, I just don't wear things like that, like them open. So that's nice. I have a cami underneath because the fabric is completely transparent. One little bust pocket there, just for show. I'll never put anything in there.
I have a yoke that's double, it's burritoed, it's very neat. It's all enclosed on the inside, and there are some gathers that come from here. Less gathers, the smaller the bust cup size. I think cups D and double D will have more gathers here because that's where the dart was taken up to, the volume here to give you space for your bust. So I have a C cup. At the back, we have the yoke, two layers, a little pleat on the center back that is difficult to see. Collar and collar stand made out of shirting. So nice to sew. I love the contrast. I think all the features that this pattern has are best shown with a contrast. If I'd sewn it in the same fabric, you wouldn't really see them. And this is the best way to use chiffon, but keep the fiddly areas without fabric. That's really easy to work with. So I love mixing this shirting with chiffon. Just made the process a lot nicer, more enjoyable, easier, I would say, you know. And still looks really nice. I still get to have a chiffon shirt. Absolutely love it. I really think if you've never made a shirt like this, this is a good one to start with. If you've already sewn a few woven garments, if you're happy with following these instructions, you'll have a really satisfying make that is much better than anything you can buy. If you choose to sew with a chambray or a shirting fabric, it will be so much easier than what I had to do. And I would suggest doing that if you want to make your first shirt. If you're already experienced, I suggest using very nice fabrics like the one I've chosen, mixing it with a stable woven for the features of the collar, the placket, the cuffs. Does simplify the process for sure, while still giving you that super delicate look. You see why I didn't want to put interfacing on my cuffs and my placket, because it's sewn onto chiffon and I want to keep the light and airy feel without needing to weigh down with that interfacing that actually this shirting doesn't need, because it is super structured, although it is a light fabric. So I'm so happy to have been able to share this with you. I hope you give this pattern a go. Have a look at all the patterns from Itch to Stitch these next couple of days until the 30th, or discounted 25% off. You don't need a code, you just go in there and you'll see the prices discounted at the checkout. Don't forget to use my affiliate link to buy your patterns if my sewing helps you and inspires you in any way. It's one way you can support me without it costing you anything. Thank you so much for watching, and I will see you again very soon. Bye and happy sewing.